what they have claimed in this, because thou hast delivered us mm-hmm. from the hands of Midian. And I think this is what happens when men want a replacement for God. They look for these things. Men with ability, with strength, vigor. That's what they saw in Gideon. They lost sight that it wasn't really Gideon. It was the Lord. It comes back to self. They sought protection through men because they saw the ability of deliverance came from men, yet not from God. The second group, you might say, they lost sight of the exhortation in Romans 12, be ye not conformed to this world. No, no, we want to be conformed to the nations. We want a king like the nations. And I don't know if we can say enough to remind all of us afresh. Brethren, we're exhorted in the scripture not to be conformed to this world. Not to bear the image of this world. But we are exhorted to conform the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the challenge is why is the Lord is not my king? Because I'm so much occupied of being like the people of this world. And once you are occupied of being like the people of this world, Christ is not going to have a place in your own soul. The world is evil. And when you want to be conformed into the image, is there examples of godly men that have forsaken all because they loved the world, they wanted to be like the world? Absolutely. A man like Demas forsaken me because he loved the affections now is not upon God, but it is upon the things of the world, the things of the nations. I want to be like the nations. I want to be like the people of this world. And you know what? If this is the desire of a believer, that I want to be like the rest of the people of this world, Christ is not your king, practically speaking. And if I am putting my trust in the ability of men, Christ is not your king, practically. So what happened to the Lord Jesus? You would say, well, that was good. They want to make him king. But the Lord knew the source. You see, they wanted Gideon king for their own protection. They wanted a king to be conformed to the image of this world. And in the case of the Lord Jesus, the blessed man, they wanted him for the sustenance of their own bodies. He fed them, you know. So you make him king, we will never see famine again. This is how we think. But if we are thinking with the blessings, and if we are thinking with the creatures rather than the creator or the blesser, the Lord is not your king, practically.
I think we also see this tendency for succession. That, you know, not just Gideon, but your son and grandson. And there's a danger of trying to make that happen within the realm of the things of God. There's a danger, you know.
But I find it also interesting why they ask Gideon to rule over them and to have his family dynasty to rule over them. Why they didn't ask the first judge or the second judge or the third judge for that purpose? After all, Gideon was not the first judge. Why, when it came to Gideon, they have asked him? I just find it very interesting that they did not ask the earlier judges. The first judge delivered them from the hand of the Mesopotamian, Othniel, which is a picture of the world. The second judge delivered them from the hand of Ehud, who delivered them from Eglon, the king of Moab. From Moab, which is a type of the flesh. The third judge was Deborah and Barak, who delivered them somehow from the hand of the Canaanite, and especially Sisera, who was a picture of the devil. But when it came to Gideon, it was the Midianite who were ruling in the land. And the Midianite speaks of earthly things, that in its own merit, it seems like legitimate things. The jobs we have, the administrative ability that we have, that just the society is the way it is. So now, when it comes to that, we need a man. We need a man to take care of these things. That might not need a spiritual exercise anymore. It's just a matter, so we don't have to worry about if another enemy comes. Now we have Gideon's son. And by the way, well, Gideon's son came after him, Abimelech, and he was a disaster. He was a disaster. That's what they asked. We want also your son to rule over us. And the Lord said, I'll give you a taste of it. Because it's really a matter of a spiritual exercise. We are somehow look around the world around us and, well, it's a matter of administration. So let's look at people who are have the ability in administration in the world to start doing the same thing in spiritual things. It doesn't work this way. When it comes to the matter of administration, we look at it in concerning these earthly things, legitimate things that we have to deal with in day in and day out. We looked in the book of Acts, and when they were trying to look for men who could distribute financial matters and monetary matters, they didn't say, look at men with some ability in financial matters. Although there's nothing wrong with that. But look at men who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So in all regard, in every regard to our aspect of our life, we need spiritual exercises that God would lead, not only in the matter of fighting the world, fighting the devil, or fighting the flesh, that we need some kind of spiritual exercises, but also for day-to-day living. And that would lead to what Mark was asking earlier on the matter, how are we going to balance these things? It still needs spiritual exercise in my work, at my workplace, at my family time, and also in the local assembly. We cannot have it one way. You know, I can handle these matters, and when we come to the assembly, no, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the same thing. And they wanted Gideon because they figured, well, earthly things. Well, let's just have a dynasty of people who are good in administration to deliver us from that. And they didn't want to cry to the Lord because every time they cry to the Lord sent them judge. Well, there's no reason to cry for to the Lord anymore if you know who's your next king will be. Then you don't need to cry to the Lord. He supposed that's his job. He will deliver you. So it takes away the spiritual exercise.
I would suggest, too, that there was a lack of discernment on the part of the people when they wanted to make Gideon king. Even though we like to make applications, spiritual applications of Gideon and the threshing of the wheat and so on, but it's interesting that Gideon, right after their request for him to be king, he said, now let the Lord be your king. But then he asked for gold. And out of that gold that they gave him, he made an ephod. And that became a huge stumbling block to the people, and they became idolaters in a greater way. They no longer had Baal, now they had this ephod they went whoring after. And then he goes down and has, through a concubine, this son, he names him Abimelech, which means his father is king. So in his heart, he said, I'm king. Even though he had a very humble way of, kind of a crafty way of doing it. But I think it takes real spiritual discernment to know the right person to be a leader. And that's what we were saying before, that the need for the spiritual qualifications is essential. And I think that we don't see it here. We don't see it in Gideon in the same way that we may see it in others, like Moses, for example.